I was born in 1929, December 6th, on the Umatilla Reservation. That's up on Mackay Creek area, Houtme. Mackay Creek and Johnson Creek area was my sandbox, you'd say, my big playgrounds.
The experience of war leaves indelible scars, not only in the body, but in the mind and the spirit. On today's Turtle Island Storytellers, we hear the true story of Marvin Wishpatrick, who returned from the Korean War haunted by those he had killed.
I was brought up by my grandmother and grandfather. And my grandfather, he used to bring me back to the garage, and he'd get some 2x4s or 4x4s, and he'd whittle. He'd sharpen up his knife and then he'd whittle. And he'd tell me what's all going to happen to me. And he would tell me that one of these days you're going to be a leader of people. I was about 14 when I come down here and stayed with my folks. My dad was a police officer then. We stayed together till 51. Then I went into service. And my mom and dad, they asked me if I wanted to get out of the service. And I told them, no, there's no need. So I stuck it out and I went to Korea. When I came back, I was a different guy altogether. I kind of switched over from the kind of guy I was before I went into service. I was going to be a preacher. I come out of the service and they were asking me if I wanted to go back in. I told them I couldn't. He says, why? I says, just better for myself. And they says, well, you got all your money, you got all your things to go down. I says, but there was one thing that you folks hadn't prepared me for. And thou shalt not kill. My grandfather told me never to point a gun at anybody, at any human being. But he didn't know that I was going to war. You didn't tell me what to do, but these people, these Koreans, are coming over here and going to kill me. So I just had to shut my eyes and squeeze the trigger. It took me, I don't know, about 12 to 13 clips, I guess, before I opened my eyes. And my grandfather, I prayed to myself. I told him, forgive me. And I come home, and I told my mom, she used to come and wake me up. I told her, just holler at the door, or I'll hear your feet. She didn't believe me. This one time, she kind of snuck up on me. I mean, she just touched me like that, and I grabbed her hand, and I threw her on the bed, and I told her no. So after that, then I had to leave, because I was drinking quite a bit, and I was going to the other side, going to the dark side. And I got married, and I settled down for a while, and I started drinking heavy. Something was wrong, and it wasn't my family or anything, but it was eating up my insides. I was going about 3 months at a time. I'd come home and maybe change clothes and take off again, 2 weeks. It got to where I was almost like a walking zombie or something. And I come home and I was sleeping it off. It was in the afternoon, about like this. And in my dream, all these guys come into my room. They wouldn't say nothing, they just come in and look at him. I wouldn't tell them nothing, and they'd look at me and nod to me, and I'd nod to them. And I was thinking about a dream that I had about 3 months ago before that. My grandmother and them, and they were all sitting around the camp, and these people, I was sitting there looking at them, and they were all in their buckskin outfits. And I'd sit there, and I was the only one that had chaps on in my street clothes. And I says, "Why can't I go with you folks?" They says, "You got to go back and do your work." And I didn't know what they meant by that. So my grandfather told me that you got to go back and you got work to do. Lots of work. And I thought I was all through my dreams, and all of a sudden the dreams come back again, start working on me. So I went down here to Susie Williams' place down here, and they had shakers there. So the shakers, they worked on me down there. And when they worked on me that night, I come home. I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I mean, I didn't wake up, but these Koreans were coming after me, and I was getting ready to shoot them, like that always happened all the time. And they come out about so far, and they just stopped, and they start rattling their bones, and they start dancing. And I was sitting there, and I'd look at him, and I'd think, gee, what's going on now? And these Koreans were shaker dancing out here. And then I could hear their bones rattling. Ever since that time, I've had no dreams. Nothing to scare me no more. So now I just sort of stay at home now, and I think back of all the things that happened to me and try to measure them. I do things differently now than what I used to do. I used to get in and try to get involved in things. But now I sit back and I watch other people. Then I go back and I think it over, and then I go tell them.
Marvin Wishpatrick, who passed away in 1999, is fondly remembered by his family and fellow tribal members as a leading singer and storyteller. We present this story with the kind permission of his son, Toby Patrick. Today we have listened to the history, stories, and songs of the Cayuse, Walla Walla, and Umatilla nations. These and other nations along the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Trail have chosen to participate in the commemoration of the Corps of Discovery because they want the peoples of America and the world to know that they're still here. As Bobby Connor, director of Temescal Cultural Institute, so eloquently states, "We are not extinct. No matter how hard our history has been over the past few hundred years, we have survived and we have a story to tell. We want people to visit Indian country in order to learn these stories, and we want people to see and know that these are our holy lands and to protect the gifts the Creator has given them. We want to take care of the water that gives life to all, and we want people to understand that we are people too, with a sense of humor, with needs, with goals and aspirations. We are capable of providing the solutions, the answers, and the lessons that we've learned from living here for thousands of years. We thank you for joining us today on Wisdom of the Elders Radio. I'm Arlie Neskahai. Hagoanet till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders Radio is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail at National Park Service, the Benton Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Oregon Arts Commission. Special thanks to our team, producers Clark Salisbury, Brian Bull, Judy Bluehorse-Skelton, Don Addison, Bruce Crespin, and Carl Shanks. Story editor and director Larry Johnson. Program host Arlie Neskahai. Tribal Rhythms host Nico Wind. Web team Clark Salisbury and Sean Dillon. Archivist Paul Woodsong. Tribal liaison Elaine Lanigan. Transcriber Anna Kastner. Distribution manager Beth Dillon. Executive producer Rose Highbear. Special thanks to our friends at Jack Straw Productions, Seattle, Washington. To Deborah Crosswell at the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. To our educational scholars, Larry McClure, Ray DeMolly, Sally Thompson, Jim Ronda, and Lauren Olson, and to American Indian Radio on satellite. Thanks to Paul Eubanks at Ten Wolves Productions and to Nico Wynn for providing our theme sounds. And special thanks to all the recording artists and music producers who generously shared their music for our programs.